Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
It is one of my very favorite things in the world. When James Brown asks his band permission to do something.
Get up.
Get on up.
So good.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
That Godfather. Today, bunch of show. First of all, there's a story. You're no longer going to be allowed to go to McDonald's and watch porn.
What?
Yeah, they're blocking it.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you all the details for you porn watchers. Trump's logo. They're having a blast with it.
Speaking
on
of which.
Oh, God. I have the creepiest story ever today. As I'm speaking, a guy is fighting to keep his pet 13-foot alligator in his backyard.
Oh, no.
I have a summer frenzy. The songs of your youth in summer. It starts in 1964 and moves up into the 90s.
Ooh.
It is a frenzy. I got it for you. We're going to speak with Donald Trump. 5 seconds for...
$5. We had a winner.
Yep.
Did we?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Remember, we had to listen to...
We had to go back to the tape.
Yeah. Linda said I was screaming in the car not to give her the money.
What?
But
Linda.
She did. She said the word in the last second before Josh called her a loser.
Such a photo finish, but I think she did it.
Orange County tickets. We're going to be at the Orange County Fair this coming Saturday. Your chance to win a family four-pack. Go get it. 8 reasons today doesn't suck. We're going to speak with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Danny could not be happier. And I think Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
Both of these idiots. Hang on. Yeah.
Come on. Hold on, he's taking it to the bridge.
Stay on the scene like a sex machine.
Both Mikey and Danny are huge fans of chips. Today, in the room is Larry Wilcox, star of Chips. How pumped are you, Mikey?
Dude. Can't wait. It's John. I was John when I was a kid. My best friend was Punch because he was dark skinned. Yeah.
And here's a shocker. Individually, both Mikey and Danny got a haircut this weekend. Getting ready.
Get on up.
Get on up.
Get up. Get on
all of this crap's coming your way. This is Mark in the Morning.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Just know that as I'm reading this, Gina's eating a purple carrot.
Sorry, I thought I could finish it in time by the time we came back.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
You're saying?
I didn't even know that purple carrots exist.
They're so fun. They're yellow in the middle.
It's like a Twinkie carrot.
Right?
Mark, I just want to thank you for all that you do. I've been listening to you since I was 12, while my dad drove me to school. I just celebrated my 30th birthday, and hearing you read a letter my dad had sent you for my first Father's Day and my 30th birthday meant the world to me. I moved out of the Orange County area to the Central Valley, living now in Modesto, and continue to listen to the show every day. I wanted to say thank you for turning me on to Dwight Yoakam. I just saw him perform at the county fair, and it was amazing. Mm. Lastly, I have a 5-month-old little girl at home, and whenever she gets fussy, I play the podcast, and within minutes of hearing your voice, she calms down into a much better mood. Loyal listener from the Central Valley, Paul. And then this one, I really appreciate you coming back to do what you do best, Mark, and I love the entire gang. Thank you for making me laugh every day. Love you all, Linda Limbo. All right, so here's my existence right now. Red the Radio Hound, who is behind me.
Fast asleep.
Yeah. He was at the kennel, and they let the dogs out to play. They get to go out twice a day and play for a couple hours. Apparently, there was a deer over behind the fence, and Red tore out T to get it. Red has become very protective of his area. And if a rabbit or anything, a duck, a goose, he tears out after it. He tore his Achilles heel on his back left leg.
Baby.
So twice a week at 2:30, I have to take him to get radiation, therapeutic radiation on his tail. Most dogs fight it. Red sleeps through it. I think it feels really good because it's hot. And so that torn area, it must feel really good to it.
So speaking of the little baby snoozing away back there, have you tried the medicine yet?
No. We did have a thunder shower this weekend, but we waited too long. You're supposed to administer it an hour before. And
well, you're not a wizard. How do you know what the weather is going
to
be?
Well, here we have, as opposed to California, we actually have weather.
Right.
And the meteorologists around here are incredibly good. And so they can say 60% chance of a scattered thunder shower at 5 p.m.
Oh, wow.
However, it showed up at 4. So he was already trembling. It was too late.
Yeah.
But I've gotten, this is a new drug that for your dog that has a fear of thunder, fireworks, whatever. This drug, it doesn't mess them up. It actually blocks the part of the brain that tells them to be frightened. And I've gotten so many emails from people say it has changed our life. We do have it. Red, based on his weight, he gets 4 injections, 4 sections of the medicine.
And it's not a needle injection. It's just like a little water syringe, right?
It's gel.
Yeah.
It goes down in his gum, down here. And then an hour later, they're good to go.
So you'll try it and you'll tell us what happened.
Absolutely. Because look, if this actually does work, Linda has to sleep down here on the studio floor on a blown up mattress because Red gets so freaked out that he tries to climb up. Because once he got up on my studio console, because he thinks he can climb away from it. So trust me, we're going to do it. And if it works, I will let you know. I will give you the name and you got to go to your vet and get a prescription because this stuff is supposed to be phenomenal.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And this one's for you, Mark. You there?
I'm right here.
There you go. So Cam Newton was honored at the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon last night as the King of Swag. I have no idea what that means, but that's what they gave him. They gave him the King of Swag Award. And Cam put to rest something that he's been doing for a very long time. This is a sad day for Panther fans. Here we go.
Thank you. Stop. Stop. Okay, how about this? How about this? I really thank everybody for voting for this award and allowing me to represent, you know, King Swag. So I heard a lot of people saying Dab, right? But y'all know that Dab is dead, right? But for one last time, so we can put it, you know, RIP to Dab. Everybody, all kids, we're going to do it on the count of 3. We cool with that? Nah, y'all ain't. I said, are we cool with that? Here we go. So we're going to dab on 3. 1, 2, 3.
And that's it. You'll never see it again, Mark.
Well, look, he has to do the Superman. Every time he does this, so he can't put that away.
Yeah.
But he'll come up with something equally catchy. Because the dab, kids still, little kids, are dabbing everywhere. So he'll come up with something equally cool. I am not worried about it whatsoever.
All right. Let's head over to NBC and The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He had Blake Lively on. And Blake has a very young child who just learned how to talk. And the kid, well, let's have Blake tell you.
She's talking. It's kind of amazing. She knows lots of words. She says shump for jump.
That's cute.
Stand for stand.
Stand.
And if she wants to sit down, it's...
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
Yeah. No, it's that, amazing.
Tricky.
But she's like, hey, come with me.
The best part is like, baby. Yeah. Like, no, I just had a couple beers.
She's like, yay. But, like, God. I will take that any day over, like, when we go take her to the park and we take off her socks.
Yeah.
For some reason, she doesn't have a sh for socks. She has a C for socks. So she's like, yay.
Yeah, I mean,
I was... me for you.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like I have, like, Amy Schumer as a daughter.
No words. There you go. There's your mic TV.
Sit, Boo Boo. Sit. Good dog.
Yeah, Well, The Secret Life of Pets slimed Ghostbusters at the box office. The animated flick was number one for a second straight weekend, earning $50.6 million, bringing its total to $203 million. Ghostbusters did open in second with $46 million, and though the big-budget flick is off to a mediocre start, it was Melissa McCarthy's highest-grossing debut ever.
Wow.
I don't know that I'll ever see it, unless I hear people saying, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I just don't know that it's a movie I'll see.
You know, from what I'm hearing, it's not for us. It was rebooted for kids. It's PG-13. And I don't think people who love the original and love whatever, I don't think it's for us. So I'll just leave it at that. But I hope it's great. I've heard, oh, I don't get it. I'm like, but it's for kids.
All right. Now, speaking of movies, you saw a documentary this weekend?
I did. I think it just got released on Netflix, and it was so fascinating, I think I have to watch it again. Ooh. It's a documentary called I Am Not Your Guru. And what it is for the first time ever, cameras are allowed inside a 5-day Tony Robbins seminar.
Oh, wow.
It is incredible. What happens there? It's crazy because I believe in you know, his message of empowering yourself. I believe that he believes it. But, you know, in my opinion, the manipulation and the things that have to happen to get these people on board, the group speak, the group think, everybody say, yeah, everybody say this, everybody do this. It is fascinating.
Now, I will say that years ago, I bought the Tony Robbins cassette tapes. And listen, and the one thing that I remembered and the one thing that I agreed with, because I did it and it worked, he said, if you have a goal, write it down and start writing the things that you need to accomplish to reach your goal and put it in a place that you can see it every day, like tape it to your bathroom mirror so that you see it and it reinvents in your head, this is my goal. This is what I want to achieve. Yeah. And it does work.
That makes
it absolutely
sense.
Does work. And then one other thing, Linda and I were in Maui and we get there and we check in, we're sitting on the balcony and there's this loud noise coming from the hotel next to us. It was a Tony Robbins retreat and they were having people, I guess dealing with your fear is a big thing for him.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
They were having people climb telephone poles that they had installed on the property and then stand up on top of it.
Oh, that's awesome. I thought you were going to say the firewalk.
Yeah,
the firewalk. Somebody got injured or something and they stopped it.
Oh, that sucks. I want to do that. This movie is really, really cool. If you want to see a peek inside these seminars that are thousands of dollars, he's working on stage for 11 hours a day. It goes from like 11:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night for 5 days. It is really fascinating.
Now, could I find this on Netflix?
Yeah, it's called I Am Not Your Guru, and it's on Netflix.
I'm in. I'm dedicated. Yeah. I can't wait. Now, you've got some sort of audio?
Yes. This came out last week, and it just sort of made its way around to me on Facebook. You familiar with Rufus Wainwright, the singer?
I am.
So, you know, his dad, Loudon Wainwright, sister, Martha, whatever. He has a beautiful voice. A lot of people enjoy his work. He posted on Facebook on July 7th him singing Hallelujah, but he's singing with a 1,500-person choir inside a big warehouse.
Wow.
It's beautiful, it's haunting, and it's up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Here's a taste.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do ya?
The whole thing is absolutely stunning. It's about 4 minutes long. It is on Mark in the Morning Facebook page.
Very cool. The nation got its first view at the Donald Trump Mike Pence ticket last night on 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl interviewed them. Trump tells Stahl that he doesn't care that Mike Pence voted for the Iraq war, even though he criticized Hillary for doing the same thing.
Excuse me, running mate
Iraq didn't
voted for it.
I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care that he voted?
It's a long time ago, and he voted that way, and they were also misled. A lot of information was given to people, but I was against the war in Iraq from the beginning.
Yeah, but you used that vote that of Hillary's that was the same as Governor Pence.
Many people
as the example of her bad judgment.
Many people have, and frankly, I'm one of the few that was right on Iraq.
Yeah, but what about he did?
He's entitled to make a mistake every once in a while.
But she's not. Okay, come on.
But she's not.
She's not.
No, she's not.
Got it.
Now, the Republican convention starts tonight, is it?
Today.
Today.
Yep.
What is kind of entertainingly shocking is the big name Republicans that are not going.
Yeah.
That are not speaking. That are not participating.
Yeah. Nary a Bush. None of them. not even John Kasich, who he is the governor of that state. He's not coming. So yeah, it's good. It's do you know who some of the big celebs are that are coming?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to sharing.
I can't wait.
Let's take a look at trending. Here's Gina.
Thanks. Well, three police officers were killed and three were injured yesterday after a gunman went on a shooting spree. One of the officers killed had posted on Facebook just days before that he was available for hugs and prayers with civilians. The Republican National Convention kicks off in Ohio today and will be heavy on the military speakers, with the theme of today being Make America Safe Again. And here's what's trending in sports. The Diamondbacks edged out the Dodgers yesterday 6-5. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Donald Trump opens up about how he chose his running mate. That's at 6:40. But first,
Beatles.
Yeah? Is that happening? Uh-huh. All right, perfect. The Beatles. This is Mark in the Morning.
Donald Trump has chosen Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. We have Donald on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Donald.
Yes, thank you. You know, it's the highlight of your week to talk to me, Mike. It really is. And yes, I'm very excited about my pick for VP. I'm excited.
Now, how did you choose Governor Pence as your running mate?
Well, there were several steps to my selection process. And as you can imagine, there were a lot of people who wanted to be my running mate. A lot. So the first thing I did was take a list of the people who wanted to be my VP, and I eliminated anybody who hadn't retweeted me or liked any of my tweets in the past week. Boom. Gone. Get out.
That's a pretty arbitrary method, Donald. I don't think that's the way politicians do it.
Look, I'm here to shake things up, Mark. I don't care how politicians do things.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so next, I took pictures of all the potential VP's faces and placed them in different parts of my home. I then scotch-taped Ritz crackers on their faces and put a live chicken in the middle of the room. I then shouted, "Okay, chicken, peck the face of the candidate you like the most." So the chicken strutted and begacked all over the room and pecked the faces that he found most aesthetically pleasing, as per my orders.
Donald, that doesn't sound very scientific at all to me.
Nonsense. Nonsense. I'm pretty sure this is how politics works, Mark. So at this point, there were like six possible candidates remaining. So I wrote their names on individual slats of wood and hung them around the necks of six different lactating koalas. A beautiful animal, by the way. And then I had my maid Esmeralda milk the koalas. She's here legally, too, by the way. Whichever candidate's name hung around the koala who produced the sweetest, richest teat milk moved on to the next round. It was great.
I have to say, Donald, this is a pretty bizarre selection process. Why didn't you just do what an actual politician would do and research each candidate?
Turns out the Mike Pence koala and the Newt Gingrich koala produced the most identical tasting milk, Mark. It was identical. So next was a scalp massaging contest. I had Mike and Newt run their wrinkly yet masculine fingers through my lustrous coif of 80% human hair. And guess what? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
They both were equally tender and attentive scalp massagers, Mark. So I said, "Convince me, candidates. Whisper into my ears why you should be chosen."
I really don't want to hear any more of this, Donald.
As Newt Gingrich ran his delicate sausage fingers across my noggin, he whispered, "It should be me. Let me take you places you've never been." I like that, to be honest. Then it was Mike Pence's turn to woo me, and he did not disappoint, believe me. He leaned in, his hands delicately grazing the warm, liver-spotted crown of my head, still tender from my most recent hair rejuvenation treatment. I felt his warm breath on my earlobes as he caressed
Okay, all right, all right, we get it. So Mike Pence is your pick. Best of luck to you, Donald.
Mike Pence tore down the huge wall around my heart, Mark.
Goodbye, Donald. Thank
Trump 2016.
So Mitt Romney and George W. Bush are not speaking. They're not even attending the Republican convention. But Scott Baio is going to speak at the Republican convention, and the internet's not happy. The Charles in Charge star publicly endorsed Donald earlier this year, and apparently Trump was listening because Baio says the presumptive presidential nominee handpicked him to give the big speech after they recently met at a fundraiser. Here's what some of the people are saying on Twitter. Was Kirk Cameron not available? Another one said, at least Mitt Romney was able to get Clint Eastwood. And then somebody else said, this is an episode of Phony Loves Chachi.
Oh, that's funny.
Now, listen to this. This is the theme to the television show Charles in Charge. It could not be worse. Listen to this. Oh, God. Wasn't there somebody in the studio who is listening to the final product and go, am I the only one who thinks this really blows? Should we try it again? Possibly.
But he's also in charge of their wrongs and their rights.
Mm-hmm. The only experience I had with Scott Baio is I was at a restaurant with my wife, and we knew the bartender that worked at the restaurant, and he was buddies with Scott Baio. So we walk out. Scott Baio walks up. He's holding his child. And the bartender friend said, Scott, this is Mark. And I put my hand out, and he refused to shake my hand. And so the bartender goes, this is Mark of Mark and Brian. Then he wants to shake it.
Okay. I pick up what you're putting down.
All right, so I had to restart my Inco, but it's opening up right now because I have a summer frenzy.
Wait, can I please reenact what just happened?
Please.
It's the first time I've ever heard you say that. Mikey's like, okay, Mike's around, here we go. Wait! As though Mikey can control that.
All right, so this is a summer frenzy. These are the songs of your youth in summertime. It starts in 1964. It ends in 1991. This will be in numerical order. Are you ready for the songs of your childhood?
Let's do this.
Happy summer, my people.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing.
Dude, this is 50 years old. It is as good today as it was then.
You're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight.
The Beatles were together for 7 years. Both the Beatles and the Stones came out in 64. The Stones are still together.
I can't get no satisfaction.
The best line from Almost Famous, when Jimmy Fallon says, because if you think Mick Jagger's going to be up on stage at 65 years old dancing and singing, you're wrong.
These are the summer songs of your youth.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
if I was to say to you.
Did you understand Jim Morrison's sex appeal, Mark?
Yes, he was classically good looking. If you took that photograph of Jim Morrison wearing no shirt and black leather pants and hair, and you hold it up to Elvis from 1960, those are two classically good looking men.
Agreed.
The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
While I'm not really a fan of Simon and Garfunkel, I do like this song. Last time you saw The Graduate?
Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
It's still great.
Yeah, Tim made me watch it again. I was shocked at the slow pacing, but it works.
That's because the acting is so good, the script is so tight, you can't help but love it. This one is for Jackie.
People
everywhere just wanna be free. Listen, please, listen, that's the way it should be.
Is this the Rascals?
People got to be free.
The Rascals.
Crazy how we have the same music taste, and you're 16.
Music is universal, bitch.
Packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
Did you like this song when it came out?
Very much. You not so much?
I don't know. It's not Crocodile Rock.
Thank God.
It's lonely out in space.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't this song in response to John Lennon's comment that all Paul McCartney writes is silly love songs? Mm-hmm. And then McCartney wrote it.
Oh, so good.
Paul always took the high road when it came to John.
Probably because you can't out John. He's always going to beat you in that arena.
Yes. It's interesting to me when two greats get together.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean that it's going to be great because this blows.
This should have been called Two Rights Don't Make a Right. Yeah, Mark.
Maybe one of the great summer songs of all time.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around.
Not a head bopping.
Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match.
You remember the answer to Die Hard?
Different girl. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer,
You just joined us. This is a frenzy of the summer songs of your youth. Songs that were huge during the summer.
Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs. Gonna meet you on the rooftop.
Accepted this as a love song when it's so creepy it's hard to listen to.
Right. He's stalking her, right?
Yeah. I mean, isn't he? Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I love me some Steve Winwood.
Jackie would be more into this.
No, you know I don't like these cheesy 80s songs.
What's wrong with a little yacht rock, Jackie?
Oh, but I love rock. Love. Lot rocks, yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Yes.
I hear the ticking of the clock. I'm lying here, the room's pitch dark.
I love her voice.
Say it again.
I love her voice.
She is not just the greatest female singer. She's one of the great singers of all time.
We gotta hear her get loud.
Uh-huh. And the night goes by so very slow. Oh, I hope that it won't end alone.
Have you seen footage of when Blondie was being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
Deborah Harry had her current version of Blondie, and two guys were at the podium that were originally in Blondie and were being inducted. And they both looked over at Deborah and said, "Can we play with you, please? Can we play? We're in Blondie." And she goes, "My band's on the stage." It got really uncomfortable.
Oh, awkward.
And finally...
Oh my God. This is how I know Mark loves me.
Is this a summer song?
I might have to join Bryan Adams.
Look into my eyes.
Yes.
You will see.
You like this one, Jackie?
I like Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman, but I don't know what
that's called. Search your heart.
Search your heart.
Search your soul.
You find me there, you'll search
America, we love it. And this national contest may pay you $1,000 to make it even better by turning on classic rock at work. Oh, sure, call this a bribe if you want, but it gets things done.
In mere moments, it is the contest that everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for how much, Gina?
$5.
Okay. But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It's the classic rock campaign bribe, because bribing people is how you get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text ADVICE, the word ADVICE, to this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mark in the Morning listeners, 18 years of age or older, in all 50 states are eligible. We'll have more bribes for our L.A. listeners at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret code word is ADVICE. And the number to text to be in the drawing for $1,000 is 72881.
Be proud. Accept our bribe and vote for classic rock at work. This is America, damn it.
America!
5 seconds for $5.
Nice. We go to Bob calling from L.A. Good morning, Bob.
Good
Morning.
How are you?
Very good. How are you doing today?
Really good. You're a gifted talker. So what do you do for a living, Bob?
I write software.
You write software. So I'm guessing you make pretty good money. What do you make a year writing software?
It's over $100,000.
Oh.
Check you out. What kind of software? Just any kind?
Well, no, it's actually industrial software. It's used to make other products.
It sounds terrible, Bob.
No, not really.
Now, just because Mark doesn't understand it doesn't mean you're not good at your job, Bob.
Absolutely true. Now, most computer geeks I know are just weird people. Are you strange?
It depends on who you ask, I guess.
I'm asking you.
I don't think I'm strange at all.
All right. All right, so you understand this game, Bob?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'm asking you a question. You get 5 seconds while Josh yells at you. If you get it right, you get $5. If you don't, tomorrow's question is $10.
Okay.
Does your computer brain, are you capable of computing that?
No, I'm good with that. I understand it completely. Wow.
Again, you're a gifted talker, Bob. Really enjoying this. Here
Thanks,
we go.
Mark.
Now, this is very gettable. What?
Okay.
What is the center of an atom called?
Five! The nucleus.
That is correct, Bob. I took it easy on you because you're kind of boring, and I wanted you to get $5 for this to add that $100,000 you make writing boring software.
Okay, sweet. Thanks.
Hey, Bob, what is it you enjoy about Mark of the Morning?
You know, I haven't really figured that out, honestly.
It hasn't been long since Kenny Chesney showed up in Pittsburgh and left a pile of drunken fans covered in garbage in his wake. It was a prime example of excess in concert goers, especially when it's hot outside. But not to be outdone, Guns N' Roses fans attempted to outdo their cross-state rivals by bringing their debauchery into the show. According to the Philadelphia Magazine, the nastiness got started rather quickly when one woman fell victim within the first hour of the show, which, by the way, started on time yet again.
Oh, wow.
Was there anyone at the Guns N' Roses show that wasn't completely plowed? People were pretty clearly trying to relive their 20s, and it didn't appear to be going well based on the number of middle-agers I saw getting sick or on the verge of it. One woman fell down drunk and crapped in her pants. Excessive drinking, excessive heat, and excessive crowds are not a good combination. Mikey, when was the last time you crapped your pants, my friend?
Oh, man, I don't think I ever have since I was maybe two. I don't know.
I think there's a story there. I think he's hiding something.
Oh, God. ...26-year-old Joshua Lee Long is in prison on burglary charges and is facing a new charge of corpse abuse after investigators found a human brain inside a Walmart shopping bag. Police say Long kept the bag's brain under the porch at his buddy's house, and he and his buddy used to use the formaldehyde to smoke wet weed.
Oh, my God.
Long admitted to cops they even named the brain Freddy. Police transported the brain, which has now been used as a, or was used as a teaching specimen, to the city coroner's office.
How old is this kid?
26.
Does he have parents? Even at 26, my parents would know if I was a psycho holding a brain and smoking formaldehyde.
Mom, I'm just smoking formaldehyde. Come on.
God.
All right, so real quickly, myself, Gina, basically Mark in the Morning and Andy in the afternoon are going to be at the Orange County Fair this coming Saturday. Last year, we simply showed up. This year, we're putting on a show. A live fill-in-the-blank. Matt's band, Big Language. Listener talent. We've got some idiots coming.
Okay.
The Mark's Back shirt, the shirt that I wore, is going to make an appearance. It'll be behind a fence, and Killer the Goat will be protecting it. And we're all going to be there at the Heritage Stage. It begins noon this coming Saturday. So join us. 800 seats. So if you want to be guaranteed to get a chair, then you might want to show up as soon as the fair opens, which is 10 p.m., and grab a chair.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. And if you're late and you don't get a chair, you can stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Sprint, the world champion frisbee dog's going to put on a show as well. So we're all going to be there. It's going to be super great.
And saving the best for last, Uncle Jay Bones. Uncle Joe's going to be there.
He is narrating the whole thing. So we're pumped. We're psyched. We'll see you at the Orange County Fair Saturday at noon. Now, as I said, we're going to be at the Orange County Fair this coming Saturday. Gina, me, Andy, Christian, Chick on the Street, Joe Benson, we're all going to be there. We're about to give away a family four-pack of free tickets to the Orange County family. For the first game, we have Joseph and Patty. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
All right, I'm going to run the survey by you. If you have an answer, shout your name. That's your buzzer. Wait to be called on, and then you take a guess, and then the person who didn't get in, they make their guess. Are you ready?
Yes.
100 people were surveyed. Top 9 answers are on the board. Tell me a slang term people use for an important person.
Joseph.
What? What was that?
Joseph.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, say it again.
I said jefe, like boss.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Patty, what about you?
Survey I didn't sounds. Get it, I'm sorry.
A slang term people use for an important person.
Boss. Huh? The boss.
Boss.
Survey says, Mark.
That's number four. Survey says that's number four. But what did Joseph say?
Jefe. Jefe. That means okay. Like boss in right. Spanish.
Patty, you move on to the championship
yeah,
round.
Yeah, Patty.
Now, Jackie, give me Sal and Donna.
Smooth.
Okay. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Good morning, Sal. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'm going to tell you the survey. Your name is your buzzer. Shout your name. Wait to be called on. Here we go. 100 people were surveyed. Top 8 answers are on the board. Name a food that's difficult to eat with a fork.
Yeah.
Sal.
Donna.
Sal, go ahead.
Watermelon.
Oh.
Wow. Watermelon.
Donna, what's your answer?
Well, that's where you go. Survey
ice
says,
cream.
Mark.
Oh, survey
wait.
Says?
Survey says it's not.
Smooth.
All right, Donna, name a food that's difficult to eat with a fork.
Ice cream.
That's survey says.
Survey says number 5, ice cream.
Oh,
so it's Donna and Patty in the championship round. Here we go. Good morning, yes. Donna. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. Good morning.
Patty, what do you do for a living?
I'm a school secretary.
Wow. You like that job?
Yeah. 28 years.
What kind of,
what kind of
money do you make?
Decent for a gal.
All right. Patty, come into the room where the phone is, if you could. Donna, what do you do for a living?
I help my husband with his business.
Oh, and what business is that? Prostitute?
Nope. Snap-on tools.
Snap-on tools.
So, yes, prostitute.
And do you have a Snap-on tool? Never mind,
no,
Donna. Here
no.
we go. 100 people were surveyed. Top 8 answers are on the board. Besides French toast, name a food that has a nationality in its name.
Nationality. Crepes. Donna.
Donna.
Patty. Crepes.
Well.
Patty.
Yeah, Patty. Your name is your buzzer.
Survey says, eh.
I didn't
Patty.
Hear what she said.
She said crepes.
Patty, crepes.
There's no. Yeah, there's no there's no nationality in that word.
It's French.
All right, Donna. But it's got to have the nationality in its name.
Like French toast.
Gina? Oh,
I'm trying.
Donna.
Greek salad.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Good answer, good answer.
Survey says.
Survey says it ain't here. All right, we go one more. Good luck trying to give these tickets away, people. Help me. All right, here we go. 100 people were surveyed. Top 4 answers are on the board. Name a letter of the alphabet that isn't used very much.
Donna.
Donna.
Q. Mm-hmm.
Survey says number 2.
Good answer, good answer.
All right, Patty.
Patty.
For the steal.
Xylophone.
Oh, my gosh.
Letter. Letter of the alphabet.
Z,
letter.
Z, Z, Z.
Xylophone.
Survey says.
Wait. Time out.
Just for clarity.
Xylophone is spelled with an X.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh my God. I love this game.
But she said Z. Yes.
I don't care. She said xylophone. Her answer is xylophone. Loser.
Oh man.
All right, so then Donna gets
it. No, she said Z. You asked the letter. She said Z. She threw in a name that she shouldn't have thrown in.
No.
She said xylophone. She didn't even... Mm-mm.
But she said, she said xylophone. Z. Just because she doesn't know how to spell xylophone doesn't mean she didn't say Z.
I concur.
She said xylophone. Xylophone?
But when I... Danny, when I went back and said letter, she said Z.
Zebra.
Her answer is xylophone. X was her answer.
Are you saying no to that?
I'm saying no. Sorry.
So who wins? I forget who
said
what.
Donna.
Yeah. You got a family four-pack of tickets to join us this coming Saturday at noon at the Orange County Fair.
Who you gonna bring? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Who you going to bring with you?
My husband and a couple of friends.
Yay.
All right. Well, you coming to see us, so I'll look forward to meeting you, Donna. Make sure you introduce yourself.
I sure will.
And wear something slutty.
Yeah!
Hey, you got it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was exhausting.
Sweating. This game kicks my ass every time.
Wait, is the same person who said xylophone the one who said crepes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
The one that works at a school.
The
nationality in its name.
She's great.
Trending, Gina.
Well, former 1980s heartthrob Scott Baio, famous for roles as Charles in Charge, Joni Loves Chachi, and on Happy Days, announced Saturday that he will be speaking at the RNC. After all the chatter about gender politics, Ghostbusters debuted last weekend to a solid $46 million from 3,962 locations. And here's what's trending in sports. The Angels swept the White Sox yesterday, 8-1. They are back on a roll with three wins now, Mikey.
Three in a row, baby. It's a winning streak.
I'm Gina Grad. And that's what's trending online. We speak to Arnold Schwarzenegger about his marriage at 7:50. But first, the cars. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, not three, not five, eight reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was on this day. Back in 2005 that actor Jude Law admits that he slept with his kid's nanny.
Oh, yeah.
And he apologizes to his fiancée, actress Sienna Miller, which didn't go well because they're not together anymore.
Right.
All I did was bang the nanny. What's the big deal?
You take everything so personally.
I wonder if that would hold water.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Two.
It was on this day in 1986. After an association of 28 years, Johnny Cash was dropped by Columbia Records. And here's the kicker. He learned about it by reading it in the newspaper.
Aww.
That happens way too much. I mean, we on Mark and Brian, I read that Married with Children had been canceled. And Christina Applegate called the show. And she said, are you serious?
Oh, my God.
She learned it from me.
Wow. You were probably drunk with power, weren't you?
It's Christina Applegate.
Yeah. Three.
It was on this day in 1980, Billy Joel's Glass Houses tops the album chart.
Cafe, leave the tables when you blink. Oh, every dog must have.
Somebody sent me an email. They love it when I sing, so I'm going to start singing more.
Oh, goody.
In fact, maybe tomorrow I'm going to do a duet with the Manhattans.
Is it going to be better than the Shy Lights? Because you know I love that.
It'll be exactly the same.
Yes.
All your life.
Four.
Happy birthday. Actor Vin Diesel of the Fast and Furious movies is 49 today.
Dude, I almost had you.
You almost had me. You never had me. You never had your car. Granny shifting, not double clutching like you should.
Five.
It was on this day back in 1978. Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street is certified gold. Gina.
Yeah.
Do you know who Jerry Rafferty is?
Yes.
Who is he?
He sings the song that's way better than this one. Right Down the Line, right? I love this song. I find this song very sexy.
But do you know what he did prior to his solo career?
No, I don't.
This is also Jerry Rafferty.
Yeah, I love this song. Oh, wait, wait for it.
You know this? Come on.
Wait. Shut your face hole!
Yep. Listen.
He was a wheel?
You can tell it's him.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Same dude.
That.
By the way, I got a bone to pick. Uh-oh. I got a bone to pick, and I'm going to pick it.
Six.
It was on this day back in 1966. The namesake leader of the Bobby Fuller Four, I Fought the Law, is found dead in his parked car in Los Angeles. Despite a myriad of theories of gangster involvement, police never identify a suspect or a motive and officially declare it a suicide. The Texas-born singer was only 23.
I just want to make sure, for clarification, this is one of the reasons today doesn't suck.
That's right.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Seven. I put a spell on you.
It was on this day back in 1929, theatrical rhythm and blues singer and actor best known for I Put a Spell on You, Screamin' Jay Hawkins. His style was widely influential. After he died, it was claimed that he had fathered 5 dozen children. This dude was doing some banging with a whole bunch of women. 5 dozen kids.
Oh, my God.
Wow. 8.
10. 9.
And it was on this day that John Glenn was born. Still alive. He's 95 today. Gina, what is he most known for?
We were talking about this yesterday. Was he the first man in space?
No.
He was the first man to orbit the moon?
That is...
Okay.
No.
Is that, no?
Orbit the Earth.
Orbit the Earth. Thank you.
Yeah. He's probably the best known astronaut we've got.
More All than right, Neil Armstrong?
Oh, that's pretty big.
Yeah, he's probably second best.
But John, he was, John Glenn, he's just huge.
Absolutely.
He was the face of NASA.
Cool.
Okay, I forgot to answer these. Let me do it quickly. Tell me, this is from Family Feud. Tell me a slang term people use for an important person. Number one was VIP.
Oh, okay.
Name a food that's difficult to eat with a fork. Number one, soup.
Correct. Mm.
And besides French toast, name a food that has a nationality in its name.
Crepes.
Crepes, not here. Number one. Say it.
French fries.
That is correct, yeah. My friend. So here's a fun fact for you. Although they split up 5 years ago, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver are still legally married. We have Arnold on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Arnold.
Yes, thank you for having me in all of this.
So you don't think it's a little strange that you and Maria are still married, Arnold?
Yes, I'm sure that to most people, you know, it is very unusual and things of this nature. But other than that small detail, you know, we are just like every other divorced couple.
I see.
Indeed. You know, we are still cordial with each other when we see each other in public. We make sure that we both see our children for an equal amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I still drive slowly past the house she shares with a new boyfriend late at night and scream out, "Why, God, why? Maria, what have I done? I'm so sorry," at the top of my lungs and all of this.
Oh.
Okay, so that last thing isn't really something that normal divorced people do, Arnold?
You know, I disagree. You know, we are just like every other couple who was once married but have moved on. You know, with the seeing each other during holidays, with the making sure the children are doing well in school, and the begging every girl I'm intimate with to wear a Maria Shriver mask, which I made myself, as I make passionate sex on her while crying out, "How could I have thrown this away?" through tear-filled eyeballs and things of this nature.
Arnold, clearly you aren't over Maria and you want her back. This isn't healthy.
Nonsense. I've completely moved on with the seeing other people and the forming new relationships and the befriending an eccentric scientist on the off chance that he develops a flux capacitor so I can go back in time and stop myself from making intercourse with the maid and all of this? Or perhaps finding a way to get some of her DNA and clone her like the dinosaurs in that dinosaur movie. And maybe this time I won't ruin everything by waving my Schwanzenverse at the Kenneth Smith-faced maid and things of this nature.
All right, this is getting pretty sad, Arnold.
I don't agree with you, Mark. You know, my life is awesome with the swinging bachelor pad and the late nights out with the ladies, and the slamming of my own hand in the car door just so I can feel something, anything, because ever since my sweet skeletal Maria walked out of my life, I've been dead inside, and the willingness to do anything to win her back, up to and including watching her be romantic with her boyfriend is some sort of bizarre eye-for-an-eye punishment scenario. I don't care. I just want to feel her icy cold, yet the opposite of tender touch again, and things of this nature and all of this and whatnot.
Well, listen, best of luck to you, Arnold. I hope you find a way to pick up the pieces.
Hasta la vista, my pride and feeling of self-worth.
Ah! Arnold, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome in all of this.
All of what?
This.
What's this?
Things of this nature.
Things of what nature?
All of this and these things.
All of what things?
Of this nature.
Please hang up, Arnold.
California.
What about it?
Nothing. I just like to say it and all of this.
Goodbye, Arnold.
Looking for trouble?
Okay, let's talk this through because, good God, Forever 21 is taking heat for a T-shirt they recently released on their website. It's a boys T-shirt, and it reads, "Sorry, ladies, I only date models." Some people are upset about the entire line of boys' T-shirts, which say things like, "Chicks are all over me," with pictures of baby chicks on it, and "Ladies, man." It is complete, quote, "It is completely inappropriate for companies to sell these shirts to young boys," said University of Kentucky professor of psychology Christina Spears Brown. Author of Parenting Beyond Pink and Blue, How to Raise Your Kids Free of Gender Stereotypes. "Even I am shocked by these, and little shocks me these days." In response to the criticism, Forever 21 pulled them.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, I just have one thing to say. First of all, the chicks all over me with the baby chicks is hilarious and cute,
yes,
in my opinion. But if I would love for this shirt to be available, because if I saw a dude that was free to choose any shirt he wanted and chose, "I'm sorry, ladies, I only date models," I'd say, "Thank you, D-bag. Now I can identify you as a D-bag and move on to somebody else."
This kind of crap, it just bugs me.
And for someone in this day and age to say, "Nothing shocks me, but this shocks me." Really?
Now, I never knew that this was even a thing, but McDonald's has stopped allowing customers to use their Wi-Fi at their restaurants to watch porn. McDonald's joins Panera Bread, Subway, and Chick-fil-A as chains that block customers from watching porn in their... Who wants to go to McDonald's and watch porn?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I was just going to say Danny needs to find another place to eat.
However, you're free to go. Starbucks is still allowing porn to be viewed while you have your coffee.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's at least that's going on. Now, Donald Trump is probably about to say you're fired to whoever designed his new logo. Have you seen it?
It's awesome.
The interlocking T and P in the Trump-Pence logo kind of looks like, well, penetration.
No.
And Twitter is having a field day with it. Quote, "We all knew that any politician who became Trump's running mate would be screwed for life, but this is a bit blunt." Next, "This logo accurately represents what Trump-Pence will do to America." And third, "I hope it's not too late for Trump to pull out of this design logo." Now, did they change it or is it still the logo?
I think they did change it. I just saw on Twitter after that a new logo and people going, "Wait, what happened to the awesome old logo?" But it was a sexually charged logo.
I have a bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
Jackie.
Oh, that's Katie.
Katie for Jackie. What's going on?
Well, Katie, you can't help with this, but you can sit through it. So Gina, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, you know, I used to have a podcast. It was called Cool Stories in Music.
Yes.
It was hugely popular.
Yes.
I would take an artist or a band and along with their music, tell you the story that you probably wouldn't know. And I gave you one. Which one did I give you? Which one did I send you?
Oh, you gave me that really good one.
That really good one, meaning I don't remember it.
Yeah, what did you think when you listened to it, Jeanette?
I haven't heard it yet. Mark, I'm just a girl and I don't know how to download it on my iPad.
Jeanette, it's been a month.
Yes, but... Mark... I love you. I can't wait to hear it. It slipped my mind, and I can't wait to give you a full report at the end of the week.
All you got to do is put it on your device and listen. How long does it take you to get to Glendale for Corolla?
About a half hour. It takes about 90 minutes to get home, though.
Then there it is. Because it's about an hour. I forget which one I gave you, but it's about an hour. And I'm currently working with my attorney on trying to get it syndicated.
Okay, I can't wait. I look forward to it. We will discuss it this week. I apologize. But just real quick, you said it's a 90-minute podcast?
60.
60
it's
minutes.
About an hour.
Okay, how long have Mikey and I been asking you to listen to Mike Rowe's 5-minute podcast?
Mm-hmm. I heard it.
Which one?
I listened. It was a baseball one.
Did you like it?
I did very much.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Short.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
5 minutes. Mm.
He delivers it very well. Tell Jackie to sit down.
Jackie's back. Jackie, come. They summons for you. I'm filling in. Here we go.
Yeah, I was going to.
Yeah, care. Just take your time, Jackie. It's okay. We're only on the air. Good God.
Sorry.
Jackie.
Yeah.
So now I gave you, as you requested, I gave you my cool stories and music on.
Oh, my God.
Which one did I give you, Jackie?
Harry Nilsson.
What'd you think of it?
It was great and articulate,
oh.
And you're
so
smart.
So what was the big thing at the end, the bet you didn't know? What was that, Jackie? Just admit it.
That Harry...
Admit that you haven't listened to
Harry Nilsson wrote a Three Dog Night song. One.
Shut up. Admit that you haven't listened to it. Just say it.
Mark,
I'm waiting.
Okay, but I need to tell you something.
What?
Always an excuse.
Mikey, shut the heck up. It's not concerning you right now. Okay, Mark. It's
yes.
Not that I didn't appreciate that you gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just literally forgot. Like, okay. I know you gave me... No, Gina, I know you're going to say...
No, you don't.
He reminded
no, you
many times.
Wait,
I know.
Jackie, I'm coming to your defense, so hush it.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know where you just were, but I got read the same riot act. And I said, I can't wait to tell you all about it at the end of the week. So you and I are going to listen to our perspective, cool stories and music, and we're going to give Mark a report at the end of the week on what we thought of it.
I can do that.
Okay.
I promise you, I can do that. I won't let you down this time because I appreciate that you took the time to send it to me. I know you're super busy smoking cigars and drinking scotch.
Yeah.
Nobody loves music more than you. You're going to love this story because the bet you didn't know at the end of it is the greatest bet you didn't know I ever found.
I'm so excited. My stomach hurts.
It's a mind blower. So again, thank you for jumping right on that. Both of you really,
yeah.
really appreciate
no
it.
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
Well, Todd, the deal with Von Miller came down almost to the deadline of 4 p.m. Eastern, but he finally signed one of the biggest contracts in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, Mark, we talked about this on Friday, and the deadline was 4 p.m. He took it straight up to the end, and basically, he agreed with the deal that's been on the table for much of the last couple of weeks, and he gets a 6-year, $114.5 million deal. The big hang-up was guaranteed money. Now, as you know, in the NFL, all contracts aren't guaranteed, but there's a certain amount of the contracts that have guaranteed money because injury is such a big part of the NFL, so much more than basketball and baseball. And quarterbacks get the big guaranteed money. Usually defensive players don't. But he got $70 million in guaranteed money. Just to tell you, the person who's number one in the guaranteed money is Andrew Luck, $87 million.
Wow.
Then Von Miller, $70 million. Then Eli Manning, $65 million. Philip Rivers, quarterback Chargers, $65 million. Ben Roethlisberger, $64 million. Fletcher Cox with the Eagles. Now, he's a defensive player, too, $63 million. Flacco, quarterback, $62 million. Russell Wilson, $61.5 million, quarterback. Colin Kaepernick, $61 million. And last on the top 10 list, Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers, $60 million. So you see, eight of the top 10 are quarterbacks on the list of guaranteed money.
But you know what? Von Miller is such a game changer.
He's a game changer, Mark. And here's the deal. When you look at game changers in the NFL, you're looking at primarily on offense, quarterbacks, primarily on defense, people who get after the quarterback. Those are the game changers, and he is a game changer. But one injury, one hit to the knee, and $70 million. Yes, that's what the Broncos are, of course, dreading that does not happen. Tom Brady, we're talking about quarterbacks. He's giving up on his appeals to Deflategate. He will serve the four-game suspension. That also came up on Friday and over the weekend as well. Here's something interesting. The NFL is considering putting data chips in footballs. What? It's a little microchip in a football, and they want to start by putting them in the balls that are used for kickers. They want to see how close the balls actually come to the uprights or the crossbar, because they're thinking about possibly narrowing the crossbars to make the extra point even more challenging.
And it's that arena way football.
They'll get the data back, and they'll narrow the goalposts. But then they're also thinking about, they're forward thinking, putting a chip in the balls that you play with too, meaning the ones the quarterbacks throw and the running backs run and the wide receivers catch, so that it will help the referees with ball placement. You know, a lot of times you see the ball go down, and then the referee or the official spots the ball, and you're going, hey, he was ahead of that point. He marked him back.
Right.
Or it's kind of nebulous, ambiguous on where that ball is placed. But with the chip and the way it'll be configured on the field, I guess it'll be like, you know, GPS almost. No, the ball goes right here, and they'll be more precise on it. Interesting.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a fan of that, even though I do find, you know, when it's fourth and inches and they go for it, and then they bring on the chains. That is some of the most dramatic crap.
It is. But apparently what will happen is the chip will say they got it. You know, it moved right across the point where it had to be, or especially on the goal line. You break the play and there's no doubt. Beep, 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 beep. Ball goes off or whatever. you know that it actually crossed the goal line. And I thought this was great. Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots tight end, singing with Paul McCartney at Fenway Park this weekend. Part of the Summer of Gronk, he sang with the Paul Helter Skelter. So, anyway, no more Gronk singing after next week. Patriots report to camp on July 27th.
Hey, Todd, do you know how you keep the Raiders out of your front yard? You put
how
up a goalpost.
How do you do that, Mark? Oh, you put up a goalpost.
Okay. Yep, get it in now, because come August, it's all Raiders, and they're going to be kicking your ass.
All right, hey, quickly, let's get to golf, okay, because the British Open yesterday, unbelievable. Henrik Stenson outdueling Phil Mickelson down the stretch, a 51-foot birdie putt on the 15th hole. Birdie 16, birdies 18, 20 under is the best score ever in a major. The 264 for the lowest total of a major is the best ever. 62 in a final round is the best ever. It was some of the greatest golf I've ever seen, two golfers head-to-head. Just fantastic.
Linda and I were all, even when we went to lunch, we placed ourselves where we could see the TV. Yeah. It was great golf.
I mean, and these two guys were so much far away better than everybody else. They were just, I mean, they were nailing putts, nailing shots, incredible. And quickly to baseball, the Dodgers lose to Arizona 6-5. Yeah, but Corey Seager, three doubles, the rookie. He's hitting .301, 17 home runs on the season. Those are rookie of the year numbers. And the Angels won their third in a row. They beat the White Sox 8-1. Albert Pujols, two home runs. He has 17 on the season, 577 in his career. He's now, six home runs shy of Mark McGwire for 10th on the all-time list. And Jacob deGrom, one hitter for the Mets. He gave up a third-inning single. The Mets win over the Phillies 5-0. Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota. Don't forget, at Frontier Toyota, they don't close deals, they open relationships. FrontierToyota.com.
Coming up, I'm going to share with you one of the creepiest stories I've had on this program maybe since the beginning. That'll be at 8:20. No, I'm going to wait longer.
Good.
A 71-year-old Tennessee woman married her soulmate, 17-year-old boy who she just met 3 weeks earlier at her son's funeral. So let's let that sink in a bit. Almeda Errol was mourning the loss of her son when she met 17-year-old Gary Hardwick. The two immediately struck up a romance, and just weeks later, they tied the knot in a small ceremony. Almeda says, quote, "I wasn't looking for a young man, but Gary just came along. Oh. I just knew straight away that he was the one. Gary, who prefers older women and previously dated a 77-year-old, said of their wedding night, "It was wonderful beyond my wildest dreams. She really is my dream woman, and the physical side of our relationship couldn't be better. I got a little puke in the back of my throat." The newlyweds are living in Almeida's house, which she actually shares with her 40-year-old daughter and two grandsons, one of which is 3 years older than Gary. And just to add another level of weird to the thing, Almeida's late son, Robert, was married to Gary's aunt.
What? Okay,
hey,
they're
consenting.
Yeah, and it would be too easy. It'd be low-hanging fruit, no pun intended. to make fun of this situation, but it would be a little hypocritical of me because Harold and Maude is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. Is it good?
What? Well, wait, he doesn't like Cat Stevens. So
it's a lot of Cat Stevens in the soundtrack. But it's Bud Cortin, Ruth Gordon. Oh, it's so good. He's young and she's old and they fall in love and it's a great movie. I'm surprised you've never seen it. It was huge.
Like, for example, I've never seen the classic, there's several movies that I've just never gotten around to. What's the old classic?
Gone with the Wind?
No, I hated that. That was just 3 hours of whatever,
of
man.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
Did you like it?
No, it's not my type of movie.
What is it? Whatever happened?
To Baby Jane?
No, that's a classic in my house.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, no. And Bette Davis and Joan Crawford literally hated each other before they made the movie, which, I guess helped in the show.
Sure.
Because, yeah, they did not like each other. It was, and then you get the ending. You didn't expect that ending.
Oh, no. Mark, on three. 1, 2, 3. I'm sending a letter to Daddy.
So gross.
Down in Florida.
A Florida guy has been fighting tooth and claw to keep his unusual pet at his home, and it appears his 13-foot alligator will be allowed to stay. David Van Buren was informed by fish and wildlife officials that his gator named Gwendolyn is too big for his yard. Van Buren has owned the gator for 47 years since he was 9. The enormous reptile has lived all those years in a pond in his backyard. But at 13 feet, she's too big for the yard, according to officials. Van Buren, who feeds Gwendolyn her favorite snacks, pizza and cookies, insists that there's no way the gator can escape from his property and will make whatever modifications necessary to keep her. Officials appear to be satisfied with that and also believe that the gator would be better off living with him because she knows him and wouldn't do well taken out of her comfort zone.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree. Let him keep the 13-foot gator.
I don't think an alligator is capable of the kind of affection that a dog is.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they know the guy, and eventually he's going to get eaten.
Well, I don't think so. He only has a taste for Chips Ahoy, not people.
Yeah, man. We were driving down to Florida when I was a kid, and as you cross over the Florida border, there's all kinds of places that you can stop. They're little tourist traps, and one of them, it featured snakes and alligators. And you pay your money, and when you're walking in, you step up on a plexiglass floor with the gators and the snakes 2 feet below you, and the snakes start popping the glass at your feet.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, freak me out. Absolutely freak me out.
Are you terrified of snakes? I know you have one living in your backyard.
Yes, I do not like snakes. One time I went to my aunt's house. I've mentioned her before. They had a real working farm. And what they would do is they would harvest the corn and then they would stack it in the barn up against a wall. Mm-hmm. So it was quite literally floor to ceiling, a curved layout of corn in the shuck. Mm-hmm. And I dove in there and just whittled my way back, and I've got myself all spread out. When something crawled across my arm, they're called corn snakes. I never went in there again. And one other quick
snake.
One. Yeah, my parents had a little cabin on the lake, and some buddies and I, we went out in the boat and we pulled alongside of the water, and there were rocks in there, and we could see a water moccasin coiled up in there.
No.
So we went and got a frog gig, and I've got a boat oar. My buddy David gets the gig, and we're going to try to get the snake out. He gigs the snake, and he pulls it into the boat. And it's just wiggling on the edge of that gig. I took that boat oar and I knocked the snake, the gig, and David into the water.
Wow.
Let's check the world of trending. Here is Gina Graff.
Thank you. Well, ConAgra Foods is recalling almost 195,000 pounds of P.F. Chang's frozen dinners because they may contain pieces of metal in them. Thank you, Danny. The Doobie Brothers and Three Dog Night perform Sunday night for more than 1,000 delegates at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And Gene Simmons took a spill on stage in Montana Saturday night. Simmons was performing the closing song of the set, Rock and Roll All Night, when he fell backwards. Simmons was soon picked up by the security staff, did not appear to be hurt. We have that up at Mark in the Morning Facebook. He just falls and keeps rocking, mm-hmm. So good for him. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We have one of your childhood TV heroes in studio at 8:35. But first, you too. This is Mark in the Morning.
Today, we are joined in studio by Larry Wilcox. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I have a question. Do you ever get sick of hearing this?
Pretty bad when my kids, I make them sing it to me, you know?
Now, you were with Chips, was it 5 years?
5 years, yep. And it's syndicated in 100 foreign countries, you know. We speak Japanese, French, Spanish. We do it all, you know.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of people that are like you that have starred on a really, really popular television show. Yep. And there's really only two ways to go about it. You either embrace it or you don't.
Exactly.
And the ones that embrace it seem to have a healthy nature about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, first of all, you have to realize it's just a job, so get over it. Mm. And don't start looking in the mirror and reading all your marketing stuff because that's PR. Some people don't transition from that because they still think they're a star, El Patron or El Jefe, as you guys were talking about earlier this morning. But, you know, it's just a job, and I learned a lot. I had great experiences and traveled all over the world and went to the carnival and rode all the rides.
Now, I've met Eric Estrada on many occasions, and he always had that just that big grin on his face. I never saw a nasty side. He just always seemed to be a good dude.
Yeah, he is. I think he's, you know, when we were young, they liked to make publicity that we didn't get along and so on, but we did. We weren't the best of friends, and we didn't go out at night together, but we did get along, eh? But now that he's older, I think, you know, he's more mature. He's still punch. I mean, we'll go sign autographs at those Comic Cons, and he's fondling all the ladies as their husbands are looking. You know, that's punch. You know, stop, dude. You're not the hunk anymore. You know? It's over.
I'd like to be there when you said that to him.
Oh,
now, when I see a rerun periodically, it looks like you guys were shooting on the, and maybe at that time, the unfinished, what is it, the 118 that goes out toward
210.
It was 118. On the 210.
Yeah. Well, it was the 210 between Pasadena and the Valley. It wasn't completed then, so we shot all of the, you know, if you look at the show, you'll see us riding on the motorcycles and the cars, and then if you look on the other side, there's no traffic. And some director forgot to simulate traffic on both sides of the freeway. But, yeah, that's where we shot. It was hot and, you know, out there at 100 degrees wearing those tight pants and breeches. And
well, the ladies appreciated it.
The ladies did, yeah. We were lucky in those days. You know, I mean, how could you be so lucky? That was the golden years of television. There were only three networks. And so you were in somebody's living room every week to millions and millions of people. And I keep telling people, look, you were a product. You got all that free marketing. And if you leverage that graciously and politely, it's a big winner. And I'm grateful, humbled and grateful.
Now, Chips was, unlike other shows that are four-camera shows, this was a single-camera show. So how many days did it take to do one show?
We were one to two cameras, but yes, you're correct. And originally, it was a one-camera show. It took 6 days to answer your question. But what we usually did is you start to learn, even as an actor, osmotically, you just start to learn this stuff, right? And that is, you begin the master, but you don't finish the master. You just get the beginning couple lines and cut. Then you go in for a medium two-shot. And then you do, if you're really lucky, you'll get a quick single or two singles of each person, and you're out of there. And then if you're not a very good director, you do what's called an insert shot of a cat walking by or something if something doesn't match. That's it. On to the next one. Bring the arc over here and light this puppy as fast as you can. Put it at an 8 or 11 f-stop, and you have all the depth of field, no focus problems, and you're done, you know.
Now, you were kind of all over the place. You studied. You got an agent. You started booking a lot of commercials, and then you were on shows like The Partridge Family, MASH, Hawaii Five-O, Love Boat. Love Boat had to be fun to film, was it?
It was great. You know, Aaron Spelling was always really nice to actors that were starring in television series during the time, back in the day, as they say. He paid you good money, and that was number one. And, you know, I think I starred with Farrah Fawcett in one movie that he did, and then I starred with Catherine Bach with another one, and it was really tough doing those love scenes with those girls. Yeah.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Larry Wilcox, formerly of the television show Chips. By the way, Larry, you should know that the gentleman standing in front of you, Mikey, and the guy that helped you in the room, Danny, they are beside themselves. They love Chips.
They're trying to be cool. Mm.
You're not going to get out of here without pictures and autographs, and maybe one of them will kiss you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I brought him one of my old songs I brought to him just to kind of make a joke.
That. It's an actual 45. We're going to try to find a way we can play it. But we'll continue talking with Larry. He's got a bunch of stuff that he's really excited about, and we'll find out all about that momentarily. So we're joined by Larry Wilcox, formerly of Chips fame and Hawaii Five-O and Partridge Family, just a blue-collar working actor. And Larry's got a lot of stuff he's involved with, and we'll find out about that in a minute. But Larry, to help us get to know you a little better, we're going to ask you the island questions. Okay. And just by your answers, we find out a bit about you. So you're going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic island. You can take one kind of candy bar. What will it be?
Three Musketeer.
Ooh.
I don't know if we've ever had Snickers is what we usually get. Yeah. Okay. You can take one kind of food to eat the rest of your life. What will it be?
Has to be salad.
What? Why? Now I'm angry.
Because I've had all these tests that you guys should do someday where I had to spit in a little tube at midnight and do stool samples and blood samples and urine samples, and it came back. I was allergic to spinach and cottage cheese and all the stuff I loved. And once I got on this diet, I got healthy, and now I know that I have to eat greens all the time.
Wow.
We've never had salad. We've had broccoli before, which I question that. And one guy said tomatoes. Okay, you can take one album. What will it be? One album to listen to.
Well, people that's a always great one.
Yeah, people always stutter here.
Please say Part-Time Love. Please say Part-Time Love.
Yeah. Yeah, me and my love are Part-Time Love. Yeah. No, let's see. I think I would take the Beatles' Band on the Run.
Ooh.
Okay, McCartney.
Yeah.
One movie.
Oh, one movie. For sure, East of Eden.
Oh, wow.
Marlon Brando and James Dean.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, James Dean, not Marlon.
For conversation's sake, somebody to talk to, dead or alive, they'll be alive and in their prime to talk to you. Who would you like to take? You can't take significant others.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. And for sexual gratification, somebody to entertain you sexually, dead or alive, they'll be there in their prime. Who would you take?
My wife.
No!
Can't say why. Oh, okay. See, that way you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, now that you got that out of the way.
Let's see. Who would I take? I don't know. Maybe I would take Farrah Fawcett.
Oh,
good
sure.
Good answer. Yeah.
And that's surprisingly the first time anybody said Farrah Fawcett. Okay, if you could return to one period in your life, what would it be and why?
Um, I think it would be the birth of my son, Derek, in 1969 when I got out of the Vietnam and the Marine Corps. Because I would be able to change that identity crisis that a young man goes through and be a more perfect father. Wow. I think that would be it.
Good Excellent. Answer.
Yeah, really good answer.
That really balances out salad as a favorite food.
Yeah.
Boring. Listen to Utah. Gina, when most people have a biscuit, Gina eats salad first thing. I work with a rabbit.
I wouldn't if I didn't have to. I'm like you.
All right, Larry, so let's talk about some of the stuff that you're currently involved in. The Great Escape Motorcycle Ride. Share what that is.
Well, I had the great fortune of meeting this fantastic surgeon a while ago named Dr. Cameron, and he's from the Pacific Mesothelioma Center. Mesothelioma is when it usually comes from asbestos exposure and your lungs get it, and it's usually a kiss of death, if you will. I had a tumor inside my chest, about an 8-pound tumor. I was jumping on a trampoline with my boys, and I could only jump a couple times, and I said, something's wrong. So I called the doctor. He says, come in. I said, no, I don't need to come in. I need to go have an x-ray. And so I went and had an x-ray, and the nurse says, oh, there's a mass there. And what does that mean? And it's always, you know, cancer and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, to make a long story short, so I don't bore you with my own indulgence, about four to six months later, I'm having surgery, 6 to 8 hour surgery at UCLA with Dr. Cameron. And it was benign. It was just a big fibrous tumor that was growing in me, a baby of sorts, pushing on my lung and heart, probably from Vietnam, but probably from asbestos. And so Dr. Cameron is a really unique doctor. I mean, he finds creative ways to give you a quality of life, whether you're going to live or die. And so this is my way of saying thank you. And he saved my life and all my family and their tears while they're waiting for me in surgery. And so anything that anybody can do for Pacific Mesothelioma Center, we do these motorcycle rides. And on July 24th, Sunday, we're doing the Greatest Escape Motorcycle Ride. I'll probably go to Hollywood Motors and rent an old police Kawasaki 1000.
Oh, yes!
Assuming the clutch works. And ride with all those guys. And they usually have celebrities and do all that. And then we ride to from Glendale Harley up to Newcomb's Ranch in La Cañada. And they have music and a picnic, and they raise money, and it costs $40. And anybody can go online at the Greatest escape.org, and thegreatestescape.org, you can log on and join the parade and come ride with us and help a great cause, because it's an important issue and a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of people don't even realize they have the symptoms of mesothelioma and having lung cancer of sorts.
Well, your heart's in the right place, and that's good, and thank God everything turned out okay for you.
Yeah.
Now, Larry, by the way, we're speaking with Larry Wilcox, formerly of Chips fame. Larry brought in a single, an old 45. Is this you?
This is me. This is what you call a young actor who starts reading his own publicity. So I made this record, and I had to sing it on the Bob Hope Christmas special in front of millions of people and make a complete ass of myself.
Right? What year was this?
This had to be, late 70s maybe. And Wolfman's Jack's agent was my rack jobber, and they said, you know, you got to start doing interviews. You have a hit on your hands. So I did all the radio interviews, you know, the stupid actor thinking he's a singer. And look out, Blake Shelton, move over. I'm coming on The Voice, right? And anyway, I thought, you just stepped into a vulnerability area that you shouldn't be, because you're not the dancing, moving paunch, dude. You're the quiet type that needs to sit on the bench. And oh, was it scary. But here it is, you know.
So this was a hit, right?
No, it was going to be a hit, and I pulled out of the deal, and I never did a thing after that because I was so humiliated that I knew that I'd faked it. We double-tracked it and did everything we could, you know, to make me sound better.
All right, what's it called?
Me and My Love By, written by Carol Bayer Sager, who's famous songwriter in person, right? So I was hanging with the groupies, you know.
All right, let's hear it. Here's Larry Wilcox.
Oh, no.
Oh, me right. And I know you are needing me. And there's one thing that can get me through. Just knowing I come home each night to you. 'Cause nothing else could ever do. Like me and my love.
Mark, you love this, don't you?
I do. This is just great.
My love and I.
Larry Wilcox,
yeah!
Everybody. I love the fact that you brought that in. That alone shows you have a great sense of humor.
I make my wife listen to it at night, and I put on my helmet, and she tells me she loves me. 7 Mary 3, I love you.
Well, check it out. If you want to do a good thing, get involved or just donate to the Great Escape Motorcycle Ride. It's Sunday, July 24th. The website for the event is thegreatestescape.org. More information is at phlbi.org. Larry, I couldn't have enjoyed you more. And now Mikey and Danny are going to take you and get pictures, and they want to hear stories, and they're going to tell you their stories, and it's just going to be so awful for you. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
Thanks for coming in, Larry. Let's check in for the final time today. Gina, what is trending?
Well, evidence has confirmed a Russian whistleblower's claim of government-ordered cheating at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. A 2-month investigation commissioned, by the way, by the World Anti-Doping Agency. They found that. This has intensified pressure on the International Olympic Committee to discipline Russia ahead of the Summer Games. So basically, they found that, and I don't think it's allegedly anymore, they're claiming that these unbreakable sealed bottles where you do your testing were somehow tampered with by the Russian government.
I love the way you go up.
So they need to be real careful and no cheating this time. Meanwhile, sources close to Joe Perry and the Hollywood Vampires tell us that a combination of dehydration and exhaustion caused the guitarist to collapse backstage in Brooklyn last week when he went to the hospital. After being taken to nearby Coney Island Hospital, Perry was transferred to Columbia Presbyterian in Manhattan. He has since been released and flew to California, where he is resting. Mark, what is up with celebrities and, quote, dehydration and exhaustion, unquote?
I thought about that the other day. Do you not have time to get a few hours sleep and drink a bottle of water? I don't know. But yeah, you're right.
I always wonder what that's code for, because everybody seems to have it. But yeah, he's a little parched and a little sleepy, so he's doing better now. I'm Gina Gadd, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Pink Floyd.
Well, they call it Monday, and it's a bitch, but it's over us. However, Uncle Joe will make it better for you with his 10 at 10.
Wow, hopeful thinking. I like the way this works here. Sounds 10 at 10 today, supported by Subaru and the 2016 Subaru Legacy. Meet every road with confidence during your summer adventures. Today, on the 10 at 10, we're featuring the year that would be known for bell bottoms and earth shoes and no bras, and MASH would be the movie that we'd be looking at to set the tone.
69?
See, yeah. She's so good at this. It's 1970.
Crap.
Thank you. 1970. Some great, great music. No synthesizers, just great music coming up.
Tomorrow, we're packed. We got a whole bunch of guests. First of all, Sharknado will be all about Sharknado. We speak with Ian Ziering, Nancy Cartwright, who's Bart Simpson, and Matt Nathanson. I've known this guy for about 15 years. He's fantastic. I think Matt's got new music. So, Mikey.
All right. Nothing to this, but one of the greatest drum solos of all time is in this song. You know what it is, Mark?
In a Gata da Vida?
Nope. Come on, man. Like 17-minute song. In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins on Mark in the Morning.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.